question here, but keep quiet. Okay, so how do we get there? How do we keep our spiritual growth? Once we've grown spiritually, how do we keep that? That's what we want to talk about. And how do we stay there? How do we stay there? Do we go this year, up and down? No, we don't. And we don't have to. It's the world that wants you to think that, oh, you're a Christian, but now you're just like me. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, let's take a look at that. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able to bear it. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, ye are not carnal. What we're seeing here, we have to get beyond. We have to grow beyond just feeding on the word, on the milk of the spiritual growth. We've got to get off of feeding on the milk as we grow. You know, we have to be given milk. A new Christian, when he comes in, he's got to be walked gently, loved. He's got to be fed milk so that he grows. And as he grows and grows, then he's able to start taking on some meat. And, you know, refer to the meat is, this is the meat right here. This is the meat. This, our word is our meat. You know, we just can't be gone and say, oh, well, that was good music. I'll be back next week to listen to some music. And Pastor Brad gets up and has a sermon that'll blow you away. Well, that was good. I'll come back next week and see what he has for me again. And then the next week. And then the next week. You know, how long are we going to go and do that? We've got to grow beyond it. We've got to get off the milk. We've got to start eating some meat. Are we still there? You know, I'd hate to think that me as a Christian for over 50-some years, to think that I don't know anything in the Bible. I can't tell any man anything about the Word because I don't know anything about it. I've just been feeding on the milk. I've just been drinking milk every week and every week. No, I want to go beyond that. I want to go way beyond that. My passion, and Vera will tell you this if you ask her, my passion is to see men grow in the Lord. Grow. Because when one man grows, he's going to influence other guys. This guy right here is growing. He's going to influence other men like you wouldn't believe. And each one of us, as we can grow, as we grow, we influence others. And then they start to grow. And guess what we do then? We start sharing the Word of God. And men start getting saved because now they're listening to your growth. They're starting to grow. We get into the spot where we start thinking that and saying and believing that, well, we're just like everyone else. You know, we just do like everybody else. We are not. We are not like everybody else. And then we say, well, we do what everyone else does. We do not. We do not do what everybody else does. We walk with the King every day, okay? All day, in everything that we do, in everything that we say, and everywhere we go. The Bible says, greater is he that is in him that is in the world. That is telling us men that we are God's chosen men. No, we're not like what's out there in that world. Full of sin, full of divisions, full of envy and strifes and all that stuff. We walk with the King. Now, do we want to accept walking with the King? Or do we going to just be like the world and just show up Sunday morning? No, we got to do better than that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says there, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. We're the prisoners of the Lord. Now, you could talk to our new prison guard, and he'll tell you what a prisoner is. See, we need to think of ourselves as prisoners of the Lord. He is now in us. He is about us. He's around us. He walks with us. So now we're prisoners of the Lord. So it says there of that, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You know, we're all called to a vocation. And this vocation is a two-part thing. So many of them take this out of context. They say, well, it's a vocation. I'm a carpenter. Okay, I got to be the best carpenter is. But he's a Christian. Oh, well, I'm got to be a good carpenter. Okay, I think you're called on the vocation of being a Christian. What part does that play into your life? Are you concerned about your vocation, but you don't get concerned about the vocation for your life? You know, we need to go beyond that. This is called life's work. God wants to be part of our life in everything we do. If we be a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, a bricklayer, a musician, a teacher, a whatever, God wants to be part of that. Be worthy of vocation wherewith you're called. Our vocation is walking with the Lord. It's daily. It's everything. Everything we do. You know, we work so hard at our jobs, at our business, at our skill, learning and doing everything we can. Learning and doing everything we can. I used to be in the tire business years ago. They used to call me the retread. The retread. And I used to have we used to have CBs, Ben. Y'all don't know what CBs are. Breaker 19. They'd call the retread. That was my name on the CB. My handle, CB. Hey, retread, I got a problem over here. What can you help me out with? I knew everything you knew could know about tires. Everything. I knew why it would go bad, why it went flat. You say, I had a flat, I could tell you exactly what caused it, right to the pin. I knew exactly how it was made. I was an expert in the tire field. Now, you say you've walked with the Lord 50-some years. Are you an expert with the Lord? I sure have worked hard at it over the years. That's what we need to do. Not just go on out into our field and leave the Lord behind. He wants to be part of everything that we do. Every part of everything we have. So how much is God part of in your life? How much is he part of in your life? You've got to ask yourself that question. You don't need to answer it now. But just take that question with you. How much is part of God part of in your life? And you know God holds no guilt over top of us. He wants you to start right here, right now, wherever you're at, and just pick up from there and go on. There's no condemnation. We get condemnation from man. God has no condemnation. Never. Never has. Never will. He loves us unconditionally. So, to get more out of this salvation happening, that's the greatest thing that happened in our lives is our salvation. Okay? It is. But we have to put more into it. There's more to it in salvation. We know that now we're heaven bound. That's where we're going to be. We're going to heaven. You know, there's a then and a now part of the salvation. There's then, when we're through with this life, we're going to go on to heaven. And then there's a now. What are we doing now? There's more to salvation. Do we want friends of ours to go with us? Do we care about them? My burden for my family is that they would be saved. No, they're not saved. They don't know who Jesus is. They know who their brother, where he stands, but they don't know the Lord. And I pray for them daily that they would come to know the Lord. And they call on me for, my mother passed away, and guess who they called on? What do we do now? You know? Well, we have a funeral for mother. We did. I preached her funeral. With my family there, God gave me that grace to do that and spoke to all my kids, my brothers and sisters. What are we going to do with their lives? You know, and my desire is, my heart's desire is that they would become saved one day through my efforts or through the efforts of somebody of my influence. Okay, so what are we doing? When we are saved, we receive Christ, our direction is heaven bound, but it doesn't end there. It just starts a new life. And that's why we can now share what Jesus has done for us as we walk through life. It says there in chapter 4, I therefore, prisoner, walk, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, and forbearing one another in love. That is our life's walk as we go through there in chapter 4 and verse 1. So, when we are received, when we are saved, we receive Christ. Our direction is heaven bound, but it doesn't end there. It just starts a new life. And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17 tells us there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're new. Old things are gone. Old things are passed away. All things are new. You know, and if we can believe now that through faith, that God, the only one and true only God, gave his Son Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sins, for our past, our present, and our future, for our salvation, then we then must believe that same God, the only God, wants to go with us. Help us, guide us. He wants to go with you and I every day, all day, with unconditional love, and walk with us in everything we do. We get so hung up sometimes, men do that, and ladies do too, that, oh, we're saved now, I'm just going to sit and wait now till somebody, till it's time to go. You know, I got friends that's my age that, you know, I've had friends for 30 years, they're old good friends, they're just sitting around. I said, what are you sitting around for? You know, your work's not done, your life's not over. Keep going until you can't go anymore, because one day you're not going to be able to go. But keep going. So what part do we want? Do we want that part where we're going to sit here on the bench and wait? Or do we want that part right here, right now, that we walk through life with the Lord and he goes with us in everything that we do? We have to make our life that he is part of every thought, every word, every deed. And this is where the change comes. This has to be a mindset. We have to set it in our minds that when you wake, you're going to go with the Lord. And look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18. That tells us what will help us to go where we need to be. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted, being rooted and grounded in love. That we are rooted and grounded in love. You know, that'd be a sorry excuse for a Christian. And that's the way I look at myself. That'd be a sorry excuse for a Christian if I've walked with the Lord for over 50 years and I couldn't tell you anything about the Lord. He say, "Well, you're a sorry Christian. You don't know nothing, man. You what have you been doing? You've been sitting there listening to music in church. You've been listening to good preachers in church. But what has it done to you? We're the generation of the most filled Christians there ever was. We get filled. We don't ever use it up. That's why we have Pastor Brad to fill us back up again. Use it up during the week.
But if you don't use it, you don't have room for taking on more.
That's right. If you don't use it, you're not going to get any more. You're going to get so stuffed up. You know, you're going to be stuffed up like that. So, oh, yeah, I'm a stuffed up Christian. You know, I don't want to be called a stuffed up Christian. I want to use it up. I want to share with men so men can share with men. And men can share with men. And you say, well, what about the ladies and children? Well, guess what? Men share with men. The ladies and children will come right behind. The greatest example that children look to, I don't care, yesterday, the day before, tomorrow, is the father image. That's the greatest example. Don't be sold out by the world that says, well, you can't influence your kids. Your father is your greatest influence. And I don't care what he does to you, he's still your greatest influence to you. We have to remember that as we grow, as we become fathers. You are still the greatest influence on your children. So, what happens? Okay, we start our day. Not the same. We start our day, we wake early. We pray early. We get guidance early. We get direction early. I don't like starting my day without talking to the Lord. I don't go a day and say, well, I think I better go pray now. You know, I need to go pray about this here. No. I can't touch the floor with my feet out of bed because Satan is wanting to jump right on me. Hey, you sorry thing. You're going to do a terrible job today. You ain't worth nothing. I'm going to get all over. What? You going to do that? You don't know how to do that. You can't do that. You're dumb. You don't know nothing. And I got challenges that I take on building houses that it'd blow your mind. Really. I don't know how I do it. I don't do it. God does it through me.
That's right.
Because I start early. I pray early. I want to be the one that's praying for those. I wake up 4 o'clock every morning, like a clock, every morning. And I pray for Bill and Nancy Wagner. They have a house up here that I'm trying to sell that we got sold for the other couple that's coming. When they buy the house, and Bill and Nancy won't have the house anymore. Nancy's got cancer in her throat, esophagus cancer. So every morning at 4 o'clock, I wake up. Is that me that, well, I guess I'll just wake up at 4 o'clock and start praying. No, that's God. That's God. Vera wakes up at 2 o'clock and prays. I pray for Bill and Nancy. I pray for other ones that God has on my heart. You know, if we're not walking, we don't even hear that stuff. You know, it just goes right over you, just snoring away. You don't hear nothing. You got no concern about anything. You get concerned about your kids, your grandkids. We got great grandkids now that we have to pray for. So, you know, you get to pray for your kids. Then you get to pray for your grandkids. Now we're in praying for our great-grandkids, that they do the right thing with them. So, we walk through the day then. Okay, we've made it. We woke up, get a coffee or tea or whatever we're going to have. We start walking through the day. It's not the same when we're a Christian. It's not the same. It's different because we're different. We have to be different. We're the only thing that world out there has. And if it doesn't see us, an example in us, what's it looking to? Hollywood? Sorry. I mean, you can't get any sorrier than that. We're not the same. We pray about things. I love to drive. And when I drive, I pray. I pray. Lord and I communicate all the time. And yes, I pray for police officers too. Because they need. When I see a police officer, I pray for him. When I see a state trooper, he needs our prayers. He's out there among that world trying to stay alive and keep things right with all what's going on. They end up we're just as that, right? Really. But we need to pray as we walk through the day before we mess things up. Really. And we're the greatest ones for messing things up. We can. But start with prayer in something, with a meeting you're going to and a job you're going to start on. Start with prayer on that. And then guess what the best part is? We finish the day not the same. Because we're not the same. We're Christians. We're God's chosen people. God's walking with us now. So we finish the day not the same. We say, Lord, thank you for what you brought me through. Wow. What you brought me through, Lord. I've got another day that I'm successful. Or at the end of the day, nothing happened through the week. Come the end of the day, you see something happen. You saved me, and we praise him. And we continue to praise him. This is what I'm trying to get through, that this God thing is part of our life. We just can't walk off and say, well, we don't know anything about it. Well, okay, how do we accomplish this? Well, it takes two ingredients. And guess what? You don't have to go out there and look for the ingredients. You already got them. You already got the ingredients because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your one ingredient is your personal conversation with the Lord. Personal conversation with the Lord. You think your wife gets tired of hearing from you? Hearing about all your troubles and trials and tribulations you go through during the day? Or your kids get tired? Well, maybe they do, but you talk to them about that. Why not talk to the Lord about it?
Why don't I talk to the Lord about it? He's too busy. No, he ain't never too busy. I say, oh, Lord, it's wrong again. You know, I need to talk to you. I got something to talk to you about. And you remember, and I don't have to say, do you remember me? You know, I'm a guy here talked to you a couple months ago. You know, I called on you because somebody was ill. Oh, was that last year? Okay, I don't remember how long ago, but I do remember talking to you. No, this is a daily thing. It has to be a daily thing if you want to be walking with the Lord. One of my spiritual foundations that my walk is based on is prayer conversation. I take it to the Lord. That's one of my spiritual foundations. You have to build on foundation. This is the foundation that I have built my spiritual walk with. James chapter 5. If you look at James chapter 5. What's it say about there in James chapter 5? Verse 16. It says there in the last part, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Then it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's you. That's you and I. Of a righteous man. You're doubting that you're not the righteous man? God saved you to be in heaven with him one day. You are a righteous man. You can't get any more righteous than what you are. And look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is a good verse here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is what we could gain through this communication. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. Bingo. The power. The power. What power do we have? Do I have the... Hey God, you remember me? I talked to you last year about this guy who was sick. You remember me? Yeah. Can you come down and give me a hand on this situation I'm in right now? No, the power. Where's our power? Our power is in the connection. How much power do we have? According to power, how much do we... Power is based on connection. Power is based on connection. We got an electrician in here? Yeah. What's 110 versus 220? 110 won't hurt you much, but 220 knock you on your tail, right?
Yeah, they both can hurt you. I know,
because I've grabbed a hold of 220. He knows about power. What power do we have? The power, we want God to answer our prayer, then we need to have that power. And the power is in the Word. The power is the Word. It's through the Word. We need to read the Word. We need to learn the Word. We need to learn the Scriptures. We need to find out what can help us in this Word of God. He gave us this book. This is my second Bible. I didn't bring my other one along because it's probably fall apart on the way here. This one here was given to me by my wife, I think, back in, probably dates wore off. Christmas of 75. This is my second one. At Christmas is 75. You know how far back 75 is? The one I had before that was even younger than that, older than that. But I've worn out. Worn out. Really. No, it ain't pretty. It ain't in a folder. It ain't wrapped up. But boy, God sure likes it being. Look at the colors on it. It's just all nasty looking. Look at that thing. Look at that. That terrible looking thing. But I think, man, that's my Bible. That's what God gave me to study His Word. That's His Word that He gave me. He gave you the same thing. And Pastor Brad has the privilege of sharing God's Word that He gave him to you and I, and to our families, so that lives may be changed. But what power do we have? Power in the Word. We need to learn Scriptures. Learn. So we don't remember it. Well, just pick out some that really go with you through the day. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding.
Okay?
Learn those scriptures and take them with you every day. And one other, Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thoughts shall be established. That I pray that prayer almost every day. I commit my works to the Lord. I want his thoughts because he has better thoughts than I do. He's smarter than me. He can figure these, he's already got these things figured out that I'm asking him about. He can figure them out and he can give them to me. And I can trust him for what I'm asking for. And then this other verse here, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We got to have the power. Okay, and number two, how we accomplish this is through faith. Walking faith. I call it walking faith, not just faith. Oh, I have faith. No, I got walking faith. I got the faith that God goes with me. Robert has the faith that goes with him every day because he's out there on that road. He has to have that faith so that he's protected, so that he can go home at nighttime to his family when he's done. If we don't have that walking faith, then how do we have the connection, really? This is the second one of my spiritual foundations that my walk is based on. You know, the same faith, the same very faith, and we think, oh, that was earth-shaking faith. You know, that I got saved. He took the drunk and he got him saved. You know, the same very faith that we had at salvation is the same faith that goes with us in our walk every day, in everything that we do. That same faith. That faith that we're going to do what God wants us to do. We have that same very faith. It's the same faith. It's the same measure of faith that saved us. You know, we think of... We think of the drunk, well, he got saved, you know, you changed him from that. Well, we got saved, what did it change us from and change us to? You know, where did we come from? We don't have to talk about the drunk. Just talk about the average man. Where did it take him from to where is it taking him to? Where is he going? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have faith. We have faith that that bridge isn't going to fall on us, or that tree's not going to fall. We got faith in that. We have faith in substances, things that we want to be helped in. But these are things that we can't see. But yet we can't put our faith in God that he can carry us through. That's why it has to be a daily thing of our walk and our faith and our prayer to him, so that we know that God will get us through what we're bringing to him. We have to have our faith. Our faith is our title deed to eternal life. Bottom line, our faith is our title deed to eternal life. I'd like to characterize what we covered with you this morning, and then we'll throw it out for some questions and talk about what we talked about here. I challenge you this morning that you do whatever you have to do right here, right now, to be where God wants you. And it's only you that knows that. I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. And you know, have I done a great job over the 50-some years? No, I could have probably done better. I wish I would have done better. But I have no regrets in what I've done walking with the Lord. I just thank the Lord for what he's done in our lives and how he's helped us. You know, this walk, this in step with God, it's real. It's real. It's not just something that, well, I think I'll just talk to the Lord today. It's a real thing. You know, Vera and I have walked it for over 50-some years. And we started out, I was 18, she was 17. We were junior high sweethearts. We never dated anyone else. We were together at ninth grade when I met her. First date we had was a hayride in ninth grade. Never dated anyone else. We got married. In our senior year, we eloped prom night and went to Virginia and got married. And started our life together. two of us, young. My background's Catholic. So you think I ran to my dad to talk about God, faith, and religion? Not hardly, no. Fact of the matter is, when we eloped, we called back. I called, Vera called, of course we had to do that in Virginia. Vera called back. She'll kill me if she, you guys better not say anything about it. You know anything about her. She called back because we loved her, but her parents knew we were eloped, we were taken off. So she called back because they had to have that at the courthouse, and their mother said, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we know that you're there. You're good. And so I called back, and my stepmother, Catherine, she answered the phone. Yeah, what do you want? Well, I need your permission to get married. Hey, Tony, Ron wants to get married. Ah, that's all right. That was the end of the conversation. Tony was my dad. That was it. He said, yeah, go ahead. So she was 17, I was 18. And we started off with raising our family. What did we know to do? How did we know to do anything? We had no idea. My first Bible that we had, we started with Proverbs. We read Proverbs to our kids. And then we went into Psalms. And we read Psalms to them. In our family devotions that we had daily with our kids. A short time we'd have, even till their teenage years, we had family devotion with them. And read to them and read the word to them to help them to grow. And what they did on beyond that, that's for them to be accountable for, not for us to be accountable. We raised them up in a nurtured admonition of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do as parents, young guys, as you come into it, older men, as you have grandkids, you need to pray for your families that they would fall in the same area. So, I challenge you to check out where you're at. Check out where you're going. You know, that's why I want to give you this to take with you. Take this with you. Put this in your Bible. Read this when you have time during the daytime. Just take a break somewhere. Sit down and read it. See what applies to you, if it does apply to you. It has been challenging for Vera and I. It's been exciting, this walk. It's been daring. It's been tough. Sometimes we were wondering if, sometimes wondering what would happen, but when we look back, what God had brought a boy from Chicken Hill, that's where I'm from, Chicken Hill, Pennsylvania, it's not on the map, it's a little town on top of Steelton, PA, where Bethlehem Steel was in Pennsylvania, and Vera, she was a little girl from Enhot, which is a suburb of Steelton, Pennsylvania, that's where she came from. We put our lives together, and I think, I look back over that, all I can say is, wow. Wow. What God has brought us through and what He is going to bring you through. What He maybe has already brought you through with your walk with Him. And I really feel that God, I believe that God has brought Vera and I right here, right now, to New Hope Church for such a time as this. I think God's hand is in every step that we have taken, and I think He has brought us to this church so that we can help the minister and help you men minister to other men, and we can grow our church. And I'll give it back to you guys if you have any comments you want to add.